Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists and general overall stitchers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what we like to do, stitch.
We do. Tonight, Stitch and Chat on the Stitch Hour, Stitch and Chat time, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. And speaking of the YouTube channel, okay, when it comes to how do you get notified, how do you know when we have things coming up, simple word is subscribe. Now, these podcasts, like the Wednesday one and the Sunday one with a guest, those are designed to be true podcasts. So they're audio only, and the vast majority, which is 30-plus thousand people, subscribe through a podcast app. So all you do is they're built into your phones. They're built into your tablets. You just get an app. If you have Apple device, the podcast app comes with it. Stitcher is one that you might use on Android, and it has nothing to do with needlework. Why it's called Stitcher, I don't know, but that's a very popular one. You just download an app, and then you search for Fiber Talk, and then you subscribe. And when you do that, then every time we post a new one, then it shows up automatically. You don't have to do anything. And right. you can with all of them, there's a device that you can download it so that you can download the podcast and listen without Wi-Fi access or without using up a cellular data. So like if you do it running or exercising or whatever and you listen to us, you just download it and then it's in your device. The only thing I advise with podcast apps is at the end, when the tendency after we get done and the music starts is to hit it, you know, to stop it, let the music run out. It's only 15, 20 seconds. Let it run out, and then most apps will delete that file unless you tell it to save it. That way they don't build up. But you got to let the file run all the way out so it knows that it played.
Right.
Yeah.
So if not, you're going to have to clean up your device, which is always, you know, no one likes to do that.
Yeah, and each of these files is 20-plus megabytes, so, you know, they'll pile up in a hurry. So, you know, just watch that little bit of it. So that's for the podcast apps. If you subscribe through a podcast, or for the podcast Wednesday and Sunday, if you subscribe through the app, that is all automatic for you. You just fire it up. And Wednesday, I try to put them up before noon on Wednesdays and Sundays. I'm not always really good about that. I actually am pretty good about it, but it might be one or two in the afternoon. But anyway, by midday, they're up. And now this past Sunday, I did the video of the tour of my stitching room, and so there was no actual podcast. So don't go looking for that one because it isn't there. So that's the podcast, Wednesdays and Sundays. And you can also go to wetalkfiber.com. That's the website for Fiber Talk, wetalkfiber.com. And there is a page for every single podcast. There's a page there that has links on it and a couple of pictures and description and whatever. And you can listen to it there. There's a player right there on the page. You can just listen to it there. And then also, I take pictures from whoever the guest is, or if it's a Wednesday show, you know, pictures from Beth or Jennifer or Cindy or Debbie or whatever, and I make a video, a still image video, and that goes on YouTube. And so you can watch it on YouTube. There's no talking head thing. It's just these still pictures. It's the audio track married to still pictures. And you can subscribe there. All you do on YouTube is hit subscribe, and there's three options. Choose the one where you get all of the uploads, and then you'll get those. And that's where you'll get all the podcasts and the live shows.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, all these places you can go back and search. So if you go to wetalkfiber.com and you're like, well, I really would like to go back and listen to the ones from Mary Corbett. You can, you know, hit the search button, yep. And anytime we've talked about Mary Corbett or talked to Mary Corbett, those things come up. It's an easy search, and you can do similar things on YouTube. But yeah, it's easy to subscribe, and there's even you even have something on the We Talk Fiber webpage, right, where you can subscribe there.
Right. Yep. There's a subscribe
email.
Yeah, there's a subscribe form at the bottom of each podcast page, and it's just your name and email address, and that just puts you on a list. And I send an email every time we post a new podcast. I send an email to that list, and all it is just an email that says, "New podcast has been posted. Here's the link," and a little description. And so you'll get two a week, and that's pretty much all you'll get out of us. And we're not going to sell your names. That list doesn't go anywhere. It isn't getting sold. It isn't getting shared, because even if I wanted to, I don't have time or the desire. It's not going anywhere. But it is a way to be informed every time with your email. So that's another way to get notified. So you can get notified by simply having the podcast in an app, and they download automatically. You can do it by subscribing at the website. You can do it by subscribing at the YouTube channel. You can also do it by following us on Instagram, because I post everything we post. I do a post on Instagram with the links. Now, you have to copy and paste those links, but also on Instagram, if you follow Fiber Talk, there's a notification there. So there's, you know, multiple ways to find out when we are putting up new shows. And we're 99%, and I can't say 100%, because Sunday I didn't post the tour Sunday. I posted it Monday. It's the first time I've missed in forever. But Wednesday and Sunday are those podcasts, and those are like clockwork. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
Share.
Get your fix.
Share, too. Please share. Tell others. Yeah. Yep.
Share, like, all that stuff.
Yep. It does help. Okay. All right. That's the lesson on how to subscribe. So Stitch and Chat tonight. Next week on the Stitch Hour, that's 8 o'clock Eastern time. Stitch Hour is 8 o'clock Wednesday night Eastern time on the YouTube channel. They're live shows, and you can be in the audience and post comments and questions, and that's a big part of what we do is answer those questions and comments. So tonight it's just Beth, Jennifer, me yakking and stitching and having fun and answering questions and dealing with comments and stuff, and we have a great time doing that. Next Wednesday, Kathy Andrews will join us. And, I mean, just be sure you don't miss this show. What was it? EGA, you and I did a video of a whole display of things, and one of them was Kathy Andrews had done some stitching art to deal with her emotions and feelings while she was battling breast cancer.
Very, very moving.
Oh, yeah. More than moving. So right. She did a little video, because we talked about it when we recorded with her a couple weeks ago, and then she did a little video and sent it to me. And so I asked her if she would be willing to talk about this art, because it takes you all the way through diagnosis, through surgery, mastectomy, the whole shooting match. And she stitched many pieces, and then comments from her daughters of encouragement and so on and so forth. And she said, yes, she'd be willing to talk about it. So next Wednesday, the 8th, she is going to be on the Stitch Hour live and talk about the whole experience of battling breast cancer and expressing and dealing with it through her needlework. And
Sure it's going to be inspirational and also very moving. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, we all have things we all have to deal with, and it might inspire someone to use their needlework to do that.
Yep.
To express themselves. Yep. So
When I asked her, I figured she'd say, no, I can't do it. But she said, sure, I'd be happy to do it. Well, I don't know that she said happy, but she said, sure, I'll do it. I'm sure she's dealt with it. You know, it's in the past. She's over it. But, you know, also it's not something you want to relive. So I really appreciate her making the time. So join us for that and see, the artwork is very good. I mean, it's Kathy, for crying out loud. Of course it's very good, but, it's really well done, and it's a good story. So, that's the 8th. Then the 15th, Kathy Ray will be back for a Thread Talk. And that's also 8 o'clock. Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. Subscribe, you'll get notified. Like and share. Kathy Ray will be back to talk about Threads. And then that's going to be our last Stitch Hour until the 5th of January. Because that'll take us up a week before Christmas. And then we're going to take a little break on the Wednesday night shows till the 5th of January.
I mean, is that close to the end of the year?
It sure is.
Oh, that is a scary thought.
I was looking before we did this. I was looking at the calendar thing. All right, you know, what is going to be our last one? Holy smokes.
It's coming up.
Right now. So that's going to be the last one. Then we'll be back on the 5th. Going to take a little break, and we'll have a couple of Sundays. The day after Christmas, the day after New Year's, where there will not be podcasts. I'll probably put up an encore thing so that there's something. But we're going to take a break. Catch our breath. Three shows a week, week after week. Yeah, we're going to take a break.
Yeah, need a little break.
Yep. Sunday's guest. I say this every time, don't I? Don't miss it.
You do. But
I do.
They're good. They're always informative. You know, I always learn something from listening to the talks.
Well, we enjoy doing them. Danielle Clough from South Africa, Cape Town, South Africa, is our guest. Wow. What a story. What does she call herself? An accidental professional. And how she became, she makes her living now with needlework. And the story of how she got here, got to the point where she can make a living with her needlework. Incredibly talented lady. Really a joy to talk to. Had such a great time talking with her. And some of her work, all of her work is just rather mind-blowing. So Danielle Clough on Sunday. And, you definitely want to see that. And Fiance Knowles is her Instagram handle. Fiance Knowles, and there's a story behind that, which she tells, and I'm not going to share it. Got to listen. Follow her, Fiance Knowles, Knowles, on Instagram. You definitely want her in your list of people you follow, because her stuff is worth seeing at every turn. So, yep. A good one. Heard today, we're recording Monday. Heard today from the publicist for Claire Hunter. And Claire's new book, Embroidering Her Truth, it's the story of Mary Queen of Scots, will be released March 17. And it's crazy we're talking about March, but, you know.
I know.
You know. and I'm really pumped up about it, because if you heard. What's that?
Mary Queen of Scots, isn't that what you said?
Yes, Mary Queen of Scots. Did I say that?
I think so.
I don't know. Embroidering Her Truth, it's the story of Mary Queen of Scots. Yes. So, Claire Hunter did a book in 2019 called Threads of Life. And if you have not read that book, you must read that book. Because she shows you how needle and thread has played a role throughout history. It is a fantastic book. And wars, prisons, all the things. It is just a tremendous, tremendous book, well written, well presented. And back in November 10 and 17 of 2019, I did two shows with her. One, we talked about the book, and the other, we talked about the process of putting together the book, all the research, and so on and so forth. No, I have that wrong. The first one, we talked about her and her career, which is also fascinating. And then the second one, we talked about the book and the process of putting together the book. So those are back-to-back shows with Claire Hunter, worth listening to, and that book is worth getting. And then she mentioned then that her next book was going to be about Mary, Queen of Scots. And so here we are 2 years later. And March 17, it will be available, and we will have a show with her either the Sunday before or the Sunday after with Claire Hunter. We will have a show to talk about the book and the research and all that went into it. So, yeah.
And the Threads of Life book is so readable. So I'm really excited about this new Mary Queen of Scots, because she's a fascinating figure in history. And to hear it from, you know, get Claire's insight in it, I'm just excited about that. That is going to be great.
Yep. So got that lined up. Yep. Occasionally I plan ahead. You're right. Well, when the publicist wrote to me, I thought the book was already out.
Oh.
And I wanted to be on the front edge of when the book came out. I thought the book was already out. And I said, well, let's go this week, you know, let's get this interview in. And she says, well, if we do it soon, we need to hold it till March, because that's when the book comes out. And, okay, good. So so we're getting that set up. But, yeah, Claire Hunter is she's one of the treasures. You definitely want to read that book. And you'll want to read Mary Queen of Scots too.
Right.
So that's something coming up in March.
Something to look forward to.
After December, January, and February. But if you think about it, what is that? 12, 14 weeks? That's nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. Zoom.
Right.
Zoom.
Right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say Sunday, because it was supposed to go up Sunday. But today, Monday, when we're recording, I posted the tour, a video tour I did of my studio. And that's on YouTube, and there's a page on WeTalkFiber.com. It will not show up in your podcast app because it is a video. But go to WeTalkFiber.com or YouTube, and you can see it there. So I did a little video tour of my studio, which is my work room for the magazine and where we record and where I do my stitching. And
all right. I have a couple questions.
Okay.
Okay. My first one was your chairs. Okay. So I know you use ergonomically correct chairs. So which one is more comfortable? You have two in there. Are both equally comfortable?
Yes. Yes. The chairs are a function of the blue one is the one that I sit at when I work day after day after day. That is a very comfortable chair. And that's at my desk. And that was at my desk when we had an office, when we had to go to an office. And then when they sent us home to work at home, they said, you know, take your chairs with you. So thank you very much. So I took it. And then the other chair, the chair that I use for needlework and for recording, you'd think I would roll the other one across the way, but I don't, because I actually have it set up differently. That one was another person in the office who did not want her chair. And I said, give it to me. So I took that chair, and the reason I kept two, it seems ridiculous that I have two in one room, but the one that I stitch with, I have the armrests at different heights, and I do that to support my arms. So the one on the left is higher than the one on the right, and the one on the right is my hand that goes underneath the stitching, and the one on the left is what's above it. And that's for ergonomic purposes, so that I'm not resting on my wrists. My forearms get support from the chair, and my wrists aren't taking any weight. And you know, that's good ergonomic form. But so I keep the chair set up like that, and then I have the back set up to support me properly while I'm stitching and so on and so forth, where the other chair is set up for leaning back and putting my feet on the desk when I'm talking on the phone and, you know, those kinds of things. So
Right. The important stuff.
But it seems excessive, but I didn't pay a dime for either one, so I can be excessive.
Well, I was just curious because I saw you had two, and I thought he was rolling his chair back and forth, but I guess he has. And I was just curious about them. So that was my one question.
Yeah.
And then I had another thing. What do you think is the most important piece of equipment you have in that office for stitching?
The tables.
The tables?
Without a doubt. These Husky tables. Without a doubt. Yep. I mean, all the tools, scissors, all that stuff. Yeah. But no, right. these two tables. These Husky tables, and I'm telling you, I really glad Kim Young mentioned these things when I was talking about it initially. These two Husky tables are, they're just fantastic. They are really, really fantastic. I mean, they're big, heavy tables. The the 72-inch one, I literally had to open the box in the car. I picked it up at Home Depot and literally had to open the box in the car and carry the parts up because I didn't have anybody to help me. And because it's just they're big heavy. I mean, they're full steel tables and the tabletops are solid wood. You know, there's no veneer, no nothing. They're solid wood and they're heavy. But these things, these tables, the space they give me, the flexibility, the ability to raise and lower them. Without a doubt, I will never say for a minute that I regret one dime I spent on these tables because they are, they really are. Kim was right. And, you know,
well, I like it that you have the two. I don't know why in my head I thought you only had one. And then when you said, I have this one and I move it back and forth, I thought, ooh, that's nice.
Yep.
You know, just to be able to have that clear space for like you said, when you're framing up a canvas piece or, you know, putting something on your scroll bars or whatever you need that extra space for. And that it's adjustable because if you're standing, you want it a certain height, you want it up. And then if you're sitting, you want it lower. I don't know. Cool.
Yeah. And I will admit these tables on a practical front are excessive, but I'll have them forever. I mean, they'll outlast me and they're just so rock solid and so versatile. And you take, for instance, like if you're dealing with linen, a big piece of linen, you need to cut it, get it squared up. You want to edge it. You know, I pull out that 4-foot table. I have this big space. I can put the sewing machine on. I can sew the edges. I can, if I'm putting a canvas on a stretcher bars, you know, I've got all that space. I can flip them over and back and forth, and I always put a towel down because I don't want to scratch the tabletop. But, you know, it just gives you that space. And by making sure I keep that table empty, then I always have that 4-foot by 30-inch or whatever space that I can just roll into position and I have empty surface. And, definitely.
Well, and the other thing I was, I don't know why in my head, when you say, you know, you got these from Home Depot, I thought, and I think I've seen images of them before. But in my head, I think of them as being very utilitarian, kind of in the sense of being almost ugly, you know, something you're like, but you know, they look like a nice, decent piece of furniture.
Right.
You know, I guess I was thinking, oh, they're more like for a workroom, not something you maybe would have out. But I'm thinking, hey, you know, those look nice enough that you could have them out. You know, someplace, and they wouldn't look, I don't know, they wouldn't look bad.
I agree 100%. You say husky workbenches from Home Depot, and you think, oh, garage, grease, you know, whatever. No, these are solid wood, beautifully finished, smooth as silk, and I go to great lengths to make sure I don't damage the surface at all. I mean, finished beautifully, everything. I mean, the top is a piece of furniture. And then the bottom is solid steel. You could stand on them, you could jump on them, do whatever. You're not going to hurt them. I agree with you. Yeah, you think, oh, workbench from Home Depot? How can that be attractive? Yeah. No, these are gorgeous.
No, they look beautiful. They look they beautiful. Really are. And so, you know, again, you know, you get what you pay for sometimes, and that seems like a great investment. You know, if you're looking for a nice work table, and I know, you know, sometimes. For those of us who do a lot of crafts, you're looking for something that you can use to do cutting. Like if you're a quilter, you know, to adjust that height so it's high enough so that you can get a good cut with your rotary blade and then what we do with our needlework up and down. I think that's just fabulous. Yeah. I think that, you know, has a lot, looks really neat. And I just was wondering what was your best piece of equipment in that room.
That's what it is. So. And you know, you're exactly right, because that's the kind of thing, like if you're going to cut a piece of canvas or you're going to cut a piece of linen out of a yard of linen or something, it's invariably easier to do if you can stand up.
Right.
And move it around the table. And that is that is where these things really shine, is I can raise them up, stand up, and deal with a big piece of cloth or a big piece of canvas, put my cutting board on it, all the things. And it's just so much more comfortable than sitting in a chair and trying to work around things that are on the table. And they are worth it. They really are. Really are. Yep. Kim was right. You know, she uses one in that's kind of their cutting table, I think. And you know, for if somebody need, you know, I need a fat quarter of this or that, and she's had it in her shop. And yep, brilliant piece of advice from her. Get these right. tables, yeah.
And they're on canisters, so they roll, right?
Right, they're on cast. You can have them on casters or just Teflon feet. Either way, but why you wouldn't put them on casters, I don't know, because they're heavy duty. I mean, they have to be to hold these tables up. They're heavy duty casters, and they're lockable. So it's not like it's rolling all over. I mean, you can lock them down and keep them there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So it's really, really happy with them. Really happy with them, and. And the Husky stuff in my workout room, I just finished my workout room where my bike trainer is and, you know, exercise equipment and stuff, finally getting back to that. I just finished that. And I one of the goals there was to have a workbench so I could have my, when I do bike maintenance, I can lay out all the parts and so on and so forth. And because in our old house, what I would do is put a towel over the washing machine, and that would be my work surface.
Right, right.
And so you know, I want a table. So I bought another one of these Husky tables, but this time I bought one that's adjustable, but not, it doesn't crank up and down. It's adjustable, and then you put bolts in, and it stays, and that is not on casters. I want that to stay in one spot. And then that one is high enough that two tool chests can go under there. So someday I'll have, I'll spend the money and get two tool chests that will go underneath that. And that's where all the tools will stay. Right now they're in just toolboxes underneath on the floor. But, so I bought another one, and then I bought a cabinet. It's 70 inches tall, something like that. A Husky cabinet, again, heavy duty. And that's where all my cycling clothes and, saddles and you know, stuff like that. Those that gets all stored in there. I'm sold on their stuff. It is top quality stuff. Really well built, durable. It's the kind of stuff where you think, well, yeah, it's a little more than something else, but it, you know, over the course of 20 years, is it really that right. much more? Probably not. No.
Right. Right. So. Yeah. You know, if you, because sometimes when you buy things and they're functional, but it's like, okay, this isn't really what I want. And then, so, you know, within a couple of years, you're replacing it to get, so you've just wasted your money. You might as well spend it right the first time.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's with the cubby that I have here and the tabletop that was attached to it. Now that was a laminate on heavy duty, corrugated cardboard. And it had two metal legs on the other end, so it clamped to the cubby shelves, and then had two legs on the other end. Well, I'd used it for 3 or 4 years, and it had definitely had a warp to it, like it had sunk in the middle, and you could put a marble on it, and it'd roll back and forth and end up in the middle, you know, in the dip. And I mean, it was just coming apart. Well, I saved some money on that. Because it was not horribly expensive, and you know, so I ended up having to trash it because it was, you know, it was just gonna. The next thing was gonna be a crack, and then it was gonna be this and that.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's you do it right up front, and then
right.
You know, I mean, yeah, these tables will literally outlast me. One of our kids is going to have to figure out how to get them out of here. So,
but see, that's not your problem. So.
No, I won't. I
don't
won't
worry.
Care.
Okay. Sorry, kids.
Yep.
You have to deal with this.
Yep. But yeah, without a doubt, they are the foundation of what this room. And you know, I worked on this room in my head when we first found the house and got the contract accepted. Then I started working on it in terms of how I was going to set it up. And like I said in the video, that Orna Willis, when she showed us her her studio, which is one massive, beautiful place.
I know.
You know,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, but that big table she has in the middle, you know, that stuck in my head. If you have the, you know, if you ever have the chance to set up a place from scratch, make sure you have a big empty surface area that is always available and that you don't have to clear off first. And that she, you know, it, as far as I'm concerned, she won the day with that. And that was my goal. If I ever had a chance to set up a room from scratch, I was going to have a surface that I could move into place and use and not have to, you know, I got to get all this stuff, set it on the floor in the corner and clear off the table. No, no. No, she has it right, without a doubt. Yeah.
It's nice. It is very nice.
Yep. So, yeah, no, I worked on this many iterations in my head and on paper and to get it so that it would be a room where I could pretty much camp out. I mean, Margaret said more than once, I'm never going to see you again, because I literally can. I mean, the upstairs, there's a full bath, our two bedrooms, our two offices, bedrooms, offices, and a full bath. So I can come up on the top level and watch TV and stitch and record and this bathroom just outside the door. And, yeah, I could stay up here. You know,
and she's going to have to come up and find you. Yep. Where are you? Oh, here you are.
She usually just texts me. Yeah. I don't know where you're at, but.
My guess is you're in your office.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, no, it's worked out. I've been really fortunate, quite frankly, to have the space. I really am. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Really glad. Mm-hmm. So tell me about More Than a Rose, this project. Now this is your group working on this?
Yes, our the local guild is, we did it as a group correspondence, and no one wants to be the person kind of dragging the rest of the group back. So we're all trying to set a pace. We're trying to keep up with the lessons.
And the designer is?
Melinda Sherbring.
Yes.
And it's an EGA group correspondence course. So, and the reason we're taking it is that it had a few stitches that were intriguing to us that we hadn't done. And it's a lot of surface embroidery, but the first step is you have to outline all the parts and then put tent stitch in. Not basket weave. It's got to be continental or whatever the other one is. And tent stitch, one of the tent stitches, but not basket weave. Because basket weave wasn't done. It's just kind of a historical piece. Yeah. So you're not supposed to be doing basket weave on it. And, you know, tent stitch, it's kind of dull.
Just slightly.
Just slightly. And so I have to force myself to work on it. You've got to get this step done before you can kind of move to the fun bit. You know, where you're doing needle weaving, you're doing some, using some of the fun threads. This is all just tent stitch. So I have decided to try to stitch on it 30 minutes every day. I don't make every day, but most days I do. And I just set a timer. I have time to stitch. Oh, I have to work on More Than a Rose. It goes through my head and I'm like, just 30 minutes. I set a timer. I sit down. I work on it for 30 minutes and then I'm done. I give myself permission to be done because we're not going to meet and do anything else until January on this piece. So if I can get this outlining and tent stitch in, then I'm golden.
Yeah.
But 30, that's the only way I can work on it. I just,
it is torture. It is torture.
It is. And I can't, it's not like on this piece, like I'm working on the painted canvas piece also right now, which I call my lizard canvas. And I've started working on the background, but I can work a section of the background and then move the canvas around and work on something fun. Mm-hmm. You know, I quote unquote force myself to do some background because this is a huge amount of background that needs to be covered. I work one or two strands and then I'm like, okay, yes, now I can put in some fun threads or put in some fun stitches. But yeah, that more than a rose. Doing all the tent stitching is just like, it's tedious. But it has to be done. And I remind myself, the only way I'm going to get to the fun bits on this is if I get this background in.
Right, right. Well, okay, so that's interesting, because that's kind of like the reverse of so many painted canvas needle points, where you do all the design and then you got to do the background. So,
right.
Yeah, I wonder how many thousands of painted canvases are out in the world where the design part's done and the background is started, but nah, never mind.
Right, right. And that's the one thing I learned from Gay Ann Rogers, is she said, you know, working on some of her pieces, she said, once you get this part in, especially with the portrait pieces that have a huge background behind them, she says, get the face in. Now find out where you're going to start the background and start working on your background.
Uh-huh.
Because you can work on that while you work on the fun bits until you get to a certain point, and then you really need to get, you know, it's layered. So you have to make some decisions there. But if you don't start on that background, you're going to get the face in and you're going to look at it and say, I ain't doing the background. And that's why when I'm working on the lizard canvas, the painted canvas, I'm working on the background. I've started it because I know I'll get all the fun parts in with the different kinds of lizards, and I'll be like, no, we're not going to work on that background. It'll be done, and it'll be another whip waiting for to be put on the whip board.
Yeah, backgrounds and backstitching. Ugh. Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
And then you get somebody like Jennifer, who just eats up that backstitching. Go, Jennifer. Oh, she could make money. She could make money doing backstitching for people. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And oh, no. I mean, it does add something. When you add it in, you know, it just makes a huge difference on a piece. But it's like, oh.
Yeah. Yuck.
Not nearly as much fun.
All right. Speaking of whip goes. All right, we did the whole thing with Jennifer last week, explained the whole thing. Are you going to do a whip go board next year?
Yes.
Okay.
I have mine set up, and maybe what we should do is see if Jennifer has hers ready. And if she could show hers on Wednesday.
Yeah.
On the live show.
Okay. Yeah, we could do that.
So are you going to do a whip go board?
Yes. Yes, I am. I've got to. Yeah, I have to, and I have to, I hope I can keep up, but no, I am. I'm going to do a whip go board. I got to give this a try and see if this gets me with some, at least some continuity. And, I am. Yeah. So I should set mine up. Yep.
And then we can show that on the show.
Right. Tonight. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're recording Monday, so we have time to do it. But when you're listening to it on Wednesday tonight,
we're gonna do it tonight. Maybe we can show that tonight. Yeah, that'd
okay.
be fun.
All right, I'll put mine together. All right, so we got to have 25 squares, and the middle ones, right?
Right, it's 24, and you have the middle one free.
Free, okay. All right, and we number them. We number them 1 to 25, and so the middle one should be number 13.
Correct.
Okay.
And then two numbers are called every month. And when she calls the 13, she makes sure that's three that month. So that's why some people put something in that middle square that makes extra pressure for you to, another project for you to have to work on. So
I'm going free space. Yep.
Free space.
Oh, okay. Oh, and then that's another thing, is that then I got to find that Facebook group and join it. Yeah.
Right. And I think it's called WIPCO 2021.
Creatively.
Right. So it's not hard to find.
Okay. All right. I got to get joined. So yes, after Jennifer explained it and I got the full picture there, I'm going to do it. I think so. Yeah. I think it's a good technique. Yep.
I think so.
I've gone complete 180 degrees from what a dumb gimmick to, wow, I got to do this.
Well, you know, I think it's one of those things, you have to find what motivates you. For some people, it is not motivating. It doesn't, it won't make them stitch anymore. But I'm looking at it as a way to hopefully make force me to kind of maybe get some of those projects done that are languishing in my basement waiting to be finished. So
right. Well, it's, you know, after, now that I understand how it works, I mean, it just seems like it puts you in a position to just keep the balls in the air and right. keep moving and not just get bogged down. Yeah.
I like Jennifer's way of doing it and of working on something so much time. And then once she's done with that time, she's like, I don't have to touch this piece for the rest of the month or until it's called again.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that to me is motivating it, because it's like the more than a rose, you know, I only have to work on it 3 minutes a day and then I'm done with it for the day.
Right.
But it's moving forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the WIPCO board does.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like, it kind of suggests that we have these WIPs that we hate and so we're forcing ourselves to work on them. Not that at all. No. I think it what it does is it puts some, removes some of the chaos to, you know, next shiny object.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Right. And puts you into some kind of an order, yet still gives the flexibility for next shiny object.
Right.
Yeah. But it isn't next shiny object and everything else gets forgotten and collects dust. It all stays in motion.
Right.
So.
Right. And because I do like to finish things. I don't necessarily need to have them finished and hanging on the wall or finished and made into something. But I do like to have things done.
Yeah.
Totally stitched up, and it just doesn't matter what the project is. If it's just languishing, it kind of bothers me, and I need to get them. I have this urge to get them done, even though I have another urge to start a new shiny project too. So it's like there's got to be some balance there, and I think that's what WIPCO gives you, that
right,
that kind of object, that possibility.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in. Yep.
So are you going to reward yourself if you get a WIPCO? Like a bingo?
Huh?
Are you going to reward yourself if you get a bingo?
Lost me. Like,
okay. So if you get one row done, that's a bingo or a WIPCO.
Are you mean like complete those projects?
Well, no. Let's say your WIPCO board has 5 different projects on it, and you're only supposed to work on them for 7 hours in the month, and then you get them all called, and it fills in a row, like in bingo. You know how bingo is played, correct?
Right.
All right. So when you, like, if you get a bingo, are you going to reward yourself with something?
I didn't even cross my mind.
And the reason I ask is some people, that carrot of being rewarded is what drives them to finish things.
Oh, okay.
But that doesn't sound like something that
No. So I guess the answer to your original question, no, I'm not. No. If this helps me stitch more regularly and make progress on several projects, that will be reward enough.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Right.
Because it's, I get myself in these boxes all the time. Now, I guess I stitched a little bit in the last couple of days, but I started to set up the Lady Mary geometric from Gay Ann Rogers. Okay. And I got the thread that I needed, the wool thread, the fuzzy thread, and so on and so forth. So I sat down this weekend and I was going to start it. Well, first thread out of the gate, I had ordered 16th inch Krynek ribbon. And I picked up the threads and didn't check them. And I got 16th inch braid.
Oh.
Well, these are the first threads you lay down in the project. And Gayanne calls for ribbon, and I know Gayanne well enough that if you don't use ribbon and you use a rounded, raised thread, it's not going to work right because it's the bottom layer. It's the first thread. Stuff goes on top. So now I was all fired up to start this thing, and now I got to get ribbon. So then it was back to the store. Hey, I need ribbon. We'll have to see if we can get it. And so on and so forth. So now I got to wait for that. So now I'm going to go back to my sampler and stitch on that until the ribbon shows up. But I wanted to do a charted canvas thing as a break from cross stitching.
Right.
You know, at some point making X's, I need a break.
I need a break. And I felt the same way. I was going gung-ho on Spring Hill because I love the colors. I just love working on that piece. But then I realized I was working on, there's those two big trees on either side of the bottom of the sampler on top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized I wasn't stitching. I was scrolling through Instagram looking at me. I'm like, okay, we're not stitching. It's stitching time and we're not stitching. So that's when I thought, okay, now what's the problem? I'm like, well, I think I'm tired of making little X's. So I put it away and brought out my lizard painted canvas, and I'm working on that right now.
Okay.
But I know why you have to change colors a lot on those two trees. And I realized, okay, I finished one set of colors on the trees, and I'm like, okay, you can put this down. You can give yourself a little break and stop making little X's for a little bit. But
yeah. Isn't that interesting? I think there's probably every single project where there is an area, a portion of the design that slows you down, becomes drudgery, becomes something you just have to get through.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I think everyone has it somewhere. Yeah.
Right. And it's not that we don't love the projects. Like More Than a Rose, I really can't wait to get to the plaited braid. I can't wait to get to the needle lace. It's going to be a challenge. It'll be difficult. But to do that bottom layer.
Yep.
And even Spring Hill, it's beautiful. The colors are gorgeous. So when I pull it out, I know when I come and take it out again and work on it, I'm going to love it again. It's not that I don't like working on it. I just need a little bit of a break from it.
Right. So. Right. Yep. Well, yeah, I think there is. There's a spot in every project that is just, oh, all right, I got to get through this because the fun's on the other side. Yeah.
Right. And I think even people who just primarily do cross stitch, sometimes they, you know, it's a huge section of color and you're like, okay, I don't want to touch this color anymore, you know.
Right.
Whatever.
But. Right. Yeah. 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 That I'm so sick of this red, I could scream, or I'm so sick of changing colors. Can I just stitch with the same color for 15 minutes, please?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But you know, you have to get through that section so you can see the design progress. And I think that's what we like. It's kind of fun. You have this blank canvas, blank piece of linen, and you start working on it. And all of a sudden you have color, you have design.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it enjoyable.
Yep.
But yeah, getting through that rough spot. and I'm a carrot person. I need a little bit of a little reward, you know, force myself to do a little section. I'm like, okay, if I just get through this, you may change projects. You may give yourself permission to work on something else.
Uh-huh. Well, hey, that would be fun. That would be fun. A group of people. What is it that you, what are all the mental tricks you use to motivate yourself?
Right.
Which, you know, this is so ridiculous. What tricks do you use to motivate yourself to do a hobby you're supposed to love? You know what I mean? Okay. There was something wrong there, but it's really not that. It's just, I need to get through this and, Or in some cases, I've got these other things I have to do in life, and I really would like them out of the way so I could go sit down and stitch. And it's I don't know. The psychological part is interesting. And
And for some people, I think there's the motivation of having it to hang on the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to get this done so I can look at it all the time. Those are the people that are quick stitchers. They always fascinate me because they always have something that they finished. And I'm like, how do they finish so much?
Yeah. I don't know. Who was that we talked to some time ago about the time that you waste when you could be putting in stitches?
Yeah.
I think that those electric needle people are the ones who've mastered that part, where they sit down and all they do is put in stitches.
Mm-hmm.
It's like knitters. They sit down and all they do is, you know, knit purl, knit purl, knit purl. Just a machine. And that's the only thing I can figure for why those people get so much done, is it's just they just have that ability. They don't get distracted by Instagram or you know, whatever it might be. They just sit down and go. And you got to give them credit, you know, because they crank out a lot of stuff.
Right. And they find joy in it, and that's fabulous. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm easily distracted, so it's just like, okay, sit down. You enjoy this. It's fun. You'll be relaxed when you get it done. Yeah. You'll enjoy it. Just put your phone down and sit and stitch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, everybody's different, and that's what makes this fun, is there's always something that changes the deal. So all right. Holy smokes. Time to quit.
Oh, that time.
Time to quit. Yep. Okay, so tonight, Stitch Hour, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. Join us for just stitching and chatting, and now we're going to show our WIPCO boards, which means I got to get...
Yours is ready.
Yeah,
yours is ready, Jennifer.
Yeah, we just volunteered Jennifer.
Poor Jennifer.
Come to the meeting or you'll be president.
She's going to be shaking her head at us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. All right. I got to actually do something with that. Okay. All right. I'll piece it together. Oh, man.
Well, you just need You just need something to show for tonight.
Right.
You can always change it if it doesn't work for you. Right. It is not set in stone. You can even change it in the middle of next year.
Count on it. Count on it. Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Okay. That's it. Claire, Danielle Clough on Sunday. And by the way, Clough is C-L-O-U-G-H. C-L-O-U-G-H, Danielle Clough. Fiance Knowles on Instagram. I'm telling you, check her out. It's really amazing what she does. So that's Sunday. Join us tonight for fun and frivolity. I think we even have a giveaway or two. Always, you know, like to have the giveaways. So there we go. Yeah. All right. I got to go get my WIPCO board put together. So bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye.